Now, today, we don't have these sort of other gods in the same way that the children of Israel did, where they're surrounded by pagans, where it's like you drive, you know, 5 miles and it's a new god, you know, and then you go 5, 10 more miles and it's another god, right? It's just like this town's got a god, this city's got a god. And, you know, there are places like that today in India or something where, you know, each village or town has their god. But, you know, typically we don't really deal with that in the United States. We don't have, like, the god of Canada, and the god of Mexico, and the god of Honduras. You know, we don't really have this pantheon of pagan gods that God's competing with. But you know what? There are other gods, quote unquote, because the Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is the god of money. And so there's the god of money. But, you know, I'll tell you a big god that people have made in 2021 America is they've made science a god. They use science as a replacement for God. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with science. Science, falsely so-called, though, opposes the word of God. That's why the Bible says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And so the Bible does talk about science, falsely so-called, and there is science that's good, but then there's a science religion out there that's a false god that people use as a substitute for God, basically. Just like for some people, money is their god. Some people, the Bible says, their god is their belly. So your belly can be your god, money can be your god, and for many people today, science is a god. And then, yeah, there are false gods, like obviously there's, you know, Allah of Islam or whatever. But we need to make sure that we're not serving other gods, quote unquote, whether that's literal other gods or other things that could take the place of God. You know, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. So how is covetousness idolatry? Because covetousness means you want things that don't belong to you. So covetous people, what do they want? They want money. And the Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. So when you're a covetous person who's into money, you know what the Bible is teaching is that you're an idolater because you're worshiping the god of money. Now, somebody help me out who's good at finding things in the Bible. Maybe you've got the app on the smartphone that you can jump into. There's a verse in Proverbs that I want. It's the verse that says, you know, that there's no counsel, there's no wisdom against the Lord. No. Does anybody know the verse I'm talking about? Such a great verse, and I'm sick, okay? I'm not feeling well. What is it? 21:30. Okay, let's all turn there together. Proverbs 21:30. You know, being sick doesn't just mess with your body, it messes with your mind. And so bear with me tonight. I'm doing the best I can up here, but I'm feeling very fatigued. So it's hard for me to see. I'm in Psalms. You know, I'm pulling a Brother Jimenez now. I probably should just go with it, though. You know, maybe it could really change somebody's life. All right. So Proverbs 21:30. Okay, this is one of my favorite verses. I love this verse. And so we're just going to stop and read it a couple times because I really want this to sink in for you. This is very profound. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Let that sink in for a minute. There's no wisdom, there's no understanding, there's no counsel against the Lord. Does everybody understand that? That means any kind of truth, any kind of knowledge, any kind of understanding or wisdom or counsel, it's not going to go against the Word of God. It's not going to go against God. Does everybody understand that? So you know what this verse tells me is that science does not go against God. Science does not go against God. Because isn't science some kind of wisdom or understanding or counsel? I mean, science is an understanding. It's knowledge. How could it go against the Lord? It can't. Because there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. You know, you've heard the expression, the truth fears no investigation. You know, the more you test the Bible and try the Bible, it's going to come out looking like gold because it is gold, because it's the perfect word of God, and there's no understanding against the Lord. You know what goes against the Lord? It's something that's a lack of understanding, a wrong understanding, wrong knowledge, wrong information. And so there's no conflict between science and the God of the Bible. He's the author of all of the things that scientists study. And so there is no conflict between God and science. But there are many people today that have set up science as an idol, as a false god, and they're trying to use science as a replacement for God. And of course, science can't replace God. Science can't tell us why we're here. Science can't tell us, you know, where the universe came from. They can't tell us what life is. And folks, if you actually talk to people who really know science, they would agree with what I just said. Real scientists, even if they're secular, even if they're non-Christian, real scientists would agree with what I just said. They would tell you, you know, and by the way, this is what every expert biologist would tell you. They would say, we don't know what life is. Right now, in science, there's not even a theory of what life is. Forget a theory of where life came from. There's no theory of where life came from. Folks, I'm not up here giving you some radical creationist view. I'm telling you that if you talk to a secular scientist, they will tell you there is no theory on the origin of life right now in science, nor is there even a theory on what life even is, what the definition of life is. They don't know. So science can't answer these questions, my friend. Okay, they can't tell. And then they can talk about the Big Bang and evolution and the things that they believe in, but they can't tell you where that came from, how it took place. They don't know. Okay. But let me tell you something. Those who make a religion out of science, people are like, oh, I don't believe the Bible. I believe in science. I don't believe in God. I believe in science. Even though these are two totally different things that don't contradict one another, and science can't answer the questions that religion answers. Oh, no, I believe in science. I don't believe in the Bible. Have you ever noticed how the God-hating liberals reject science constantly, and they only believe in the science that they pick and choose what they want to believe in? Because let me ask you this. I wonder if these people who reject the Word of God and the God-hating types, I wonder if they'll accept the science on gender. You know, will they accept the biological definition of male and female? Because, I mean, I thought they're into science. You know, they're not very good at practicing their religion of science, are they? Because I would love for them to accept the science on homosexuality. Because last time I checked, these bunch of God-hating liberals, they put up a sign in their yard that says, science is real. But then right after it, it says, love is love, which is a fag slogan. Now, of course, the statement by itself, love is love, is a meaningless statement. That's like saying red is red, blue is blue, chair is chair, two is two, five is five. It's a meaningless statement. But we know what love is love means. It means fag love, queers. That's what it means, friend. Everybody knows that. So they have a sign that says science is real. And then right under that, it's like, hey, being a fag is normal. So here's my question. What does science say about that? Because last time I checked, CDC.gov and AIDS.gov has all the science showing that they're 50 times more likely to get AIDS this year, being a sodomite. So why don't they accept that science? Or why don't they accept the science of what life is? How about life beginning at conception? You know, I guarantee you, if they found a fetus on Mars, they'd say it was alive. I mean, folks, they're so desperate to try to find life on Mars, they just won't let it go. Like there's no life there. How many? What do we send? 11 rovers? It's like, how many rovers do we have to send, folks? There's nothing there. It's not alive. You know, but Bill Clinton, back in 1996, you know, stood on the White House lawn all excited about the possible discovery of life on Mars. I don't know if anybody remembers that. You know, I was 15 at the time. But anyway, you know, they supposedly, you know why you guys don't remember it? Because it didn't pan out. So it's kind of like, oh, whoops, never mind. But in 1996, you know, Bill Clinton gave a press conference about it because NASA said, we found evidence for life on Mars. You know, it turned out, you know, and what'd they find? You know, they thought that they had found some super ridiculously small bacteria on a meteor that supposedly originated on Mars. And here's the thing about that, though. You know, you look at what's growing inside of a woman's body, you know, at 4 weeks gestation, 10 weeks gestation, 20 weeks gestation. It's a lot more impressive than what NASA thought that they had found in that meteorite when they thought, oh, we got evidence for life on Mars and whatever. And, of course, they were totally wrong and had made a mistake. But here's what's funny. So Bill Clinton, you know, he gives his press conference, and then right after that, literally, he finishes talking about how, hey, you know, we think we might have found life on Mars. We still got to figure it out, though. You know, we're not sure yet. We're still researching, but it's pretty exciting. And he said, oh, this is going to answer all the questions that we have. Why? What if you found a snail on Mars? Well, that answers all my questions about the universe. Well, now I know why I'm here. Now I have a purpose. Now I understand everything. Oh, Mars bacterium, thank you for answering all the questions that have plagued me my entire life. And then he turns around and talks about how important it is to be pro-choice. In the same press conference that he's talking about finding life on Mars in 1996, he turns around and says, oh, the Republicans with the radical anti-choice agenda, anti-abortion. Do you see the hypocrisy there? You're excited about finding some microscopic bacteria from Mars, but then you look at what's growing inside a mother's womb and say, that's not alive. Life doesn't begin at conception. You don't believe in science. You just hate the Lord. You're just anti-Bible. You're just anti-truth. In fact, the Bible jives with science. The Bible's the one warning us about all of these disgusting lifestyles and warning us about the sodomite death style and talking about babies in their mother's womb as if they're alive, you know, and the Bible says that God created them male and female. So who's scientific now? There's no counsel, there's no understanding, there's no wisdom against the Lord. Okay. So science jives with Scripture. That's why the Bible even says science falsely so called is the one that's opposed to Scripture.